Thank you, Brother Joe. I would like to take credit for the title of this talk, but actually my wife helped me with it. We often think of the things that the world is going through and how it affects and applies to our lives. If you would today turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Brother Joe in his prayer prayed that the Lord would be with me as I brought new thoughts to you. I have no new thoughts, much like the first talk, just a stirring up of those things that you already know. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In looking at this scripture, there is much that we need to do to change from the human nature to that of being like Christ. And that is what we want to talk about today, the change of nature. In the title, I titled it The Most Extreme Makeover. The word extreme is a current buzzword that started with sports, with the various extreme sports that is popular today. But it has branched out to now the word extreme is used in house makeovers. You have extreme vacation. If you go to your bookstore, you will even see extreme Bibles. It has infiltrated into the religious aspect as well. But we want to talk about this extreme personal makeover. The world, and when they have an extreme makeover, their goal is to beautify the flesh. And to do this, they make a commitment to the necessary time, effort, the giving of themselves to the group or company that's performing this extreme makeover. They make commitments to diet and to exercise. And we want to take these various points and apply them to our spiritual walk with the Lord. After they do this, then they agree to the necessary changes that have to be made. They're told that indeed this process is a painful process. There's a lot of pain and discomfort that's involved. And of course, there's no guarantee with this extreme makeover that the world goes through. And their hope, the results that they obtain, hopefully will give them a better self-image and a brighter future. But the most extreme makeover that we want to focus on is our goal is a change of nature. It's to become Christ-like. And this only occurs not through the beautification of the flesh, but rather from the crucifying of the flesh. We too must commit ourselves to the necessary time, effort, the sacrificing of ourselves. We have to commit to the proper diet and exercise programs as is outlined in the scripture. There are necessary changes that have to take place. There is suffering. There is a guarantee. And we'll talk about the final results. So let's look at our first point, and that is the goal of this most extreme makeover. That goal is to become Christ-like. We read the scriptures, our theme text, 1 John 3:22. And in that scripture, it points out that we indeed shall be like him when he appears. And what a beautiful picture this is, what a beautiful goal this is to be like Christ, to be of that spirit nature as he is. But how do we accomplish this? How is this brought about? In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, Here Paul gives us a little insight on how this is accomplished. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The most extreme makeover and our desire to become Christ-like is accomplished when we put on Christ. We lay aside the provisions and trying to pamper the flesh, but indeed, we want to be like Him. Brother Russell explains this a little further in reprint 1789. He says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on His loving, generous, noble, pure spirit. Study and copy His life. This is the way that we put on Christ. We study His life. We study His nature. We put on His loving, generous, noble spirit, and try to be like Him. Further, Brother Russell explains in reprint 3031, fastly becoming one of my favorite reprint articles. It says, putting on Christ implies a change of will, which when renewed, desires to be Christ-like, but it also implies such a change of the outward appearance, conducts, habits of life, etc. So many of our Christian friends are concerned with cleaning up the outside. They want to have the appearance of being Christ-like, but the insides desire. The desires and the lust of the old man is still there. Where here, Brother Russell implies that if we clean up the inside, the outside will become clean. And this renewed cleansing of the inside when we put on Christ will indeed change our outward appearance, conducts, and habits of life. I see this as a balance. The more that we become like Christ, the less of the flesh that we have. The more we crucify the flesh, the more we become Christ-like. Paul, in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, gives us an insight on how this works. Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. It's through the flesh that we fulfill the desires and lust of sin, but it's through the regeneration of our mind, it's through putting on Christ that we fulfill God's will in our life. Paul also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, tells us that this process is not something that we do once in a while or even once a week when we come to meeting, but he says, I die daily. In reprint 5090, we're told that we renounce the earthly that we may share in the heavenly. The change requires a period of time during which we are dying daily and becoming more alive daily. And this period of time is a period of time that it takes for us to crucify the flesh and become Christ-like and put on Christ. The commitment that we are required to make, most of us here at this point have already made. It's a commitment of our time in which every day we continue to read, to study, and to do and seek to know the will of the Lord. But it's not just a daily walk, it's a walk of endurance as well. in Matthew 10:22, we're told that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So this is a period of time which the transition is being made, and it's the endurance to the end that counts. We also make a commitment of our effort. We want to spend ourselves in the Lord's service and be of service to doing his work and being a help and an assistance to the brethren. But there are those on the outside that try to influence us, that try to put us down. We have peer pressures at school, at work, amongst our own families. But I like Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. It says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Don't acquiesce to peer pressure. Don't acquiesce to family pressure or anything that would turn us from doing the will of the Lord. This is not an easy thing. Sometimes it takes a lot of effort on our part to stand firm for the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. Paul here is telling us, remember those that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. If you have ever had adversity, as Brother Ted testified, and seen the blessings and felt the prayers and the outpouring of love from the brethren, you know what it's like to be part of the body of Christ. But if you are suffering in these bonds and adversity, sometimes it's not an easy task. In looking back, we're thankful for the lessons learned. We're thankful for the experience. But it's not joyous when we go through those experiences. But we know that the end thereof bringeth forth the proper fruitage. We also make a commitment of ourself to this most extreme makeover. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us that we are to present our body and a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And this consecration, this presenting of ourself, is a beginning. It's not the end. It's just the beginning of our walk with the Lord. It's the beginning of the most extreme makeover that we will ever experience, and that is the changing from the human tendencies, the human nature, to that of a spiritual way of thinking and a spirit nature. Paul later wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, "For I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." Paul, as we said this morning, we enumerated the various experiences that he had, but through all those he was more than victorious. Through all those he endured those, and he continued keeping his sacrifice on the altar. And now, at the last part of his life, he was ready to be offered. He had fought the fight, he had finished the course, and he had kept the faith. We need to make a commitment to diet. In Mark chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, I'll leave this for your own reading, but here, Jesus is talking about the things that people were, that ate, they ate and were not allowed to eat. And he says, it's not the things that are from without that defiles the man, but it's what comes from the inside that defiles him. He says, then he went away, and the disciples, after they entered into the house, said, you know, Lord, what's this mean? What's this parable mean? He says, you know, can't you perceive it? Can't you understand it? What a man eats doesn't enter into his heart. That isn't what defiles him. But that which comes out of a man, that which he comes out of his heart, is the things that defile him. Such things as evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride. All those things come from within the heart of man. And those are the things that defile him. Brethren, our diet, we need to watch those things that we put into our mind and into our heart, because those things are the things that, once they accumulate, once they become second nature with us, those are the things that will defile us. Now, in 1 Peter 2, verse 2 and 3, we see here the diet of a new person as they first come into the truth. Here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When we first come into the truth, we desire and we need the milk of the word. But Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, he says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. As we progress through our Christian walk, our diet changes. It changes from the sincere milk of the word, from the basic principles of the teachings of the Lord, to that of strong meat, the stronger doctrines. And we should be able to teach those and not remain as a babe, only able to stand the milk of the word. Shortly after the feeding of the 5,000, as recorded in John, the 6th chapter, the 27th verse, here the Lord told the multitude, says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And brethren, today we need not to strive for the things of this world which perish, but more strive for that spiritual food, that spiritual blessing which endureth unto everlasting life. The last thing we're going to talk about as far as the commitment that we must make for this most extreme makeover is that of exercise. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Here we're admonished to refuse profane and old wives' fables and to exercise ourselves rather unto godliness. Our exercise program is one of exercising ourselves unto godliness, trying more and more to be like Christ. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, is a verse I referred to earlier. No chastening for the present, seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The chastening themselves doesn't bring the peaceable fruit of the Spirit. It's those that are exercised by that chastening. Those that look for the lessons to be learned. Those that look for the leading of the Lord through these experiences. Those are the one where the peaceable fruit of righteousness is yielded. We have several things we have to commit to in order to be successful with our change of nature that we're striving for. But let's look at a few of the changes that we desire to have in our makeover. For the Christian, those seeking after the Lord, the first thing that they want is a new head. They want to take Christ as their head. And the scriptures are numerous as to what this means. We'll cite Colossians 1:18. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Christ is our head after we make the commitment. And we want him to be such. But what's it mean to have Christ as our head? Well, when we get a new head, one of the things we get is a new way of thinking. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Whenever we get a new head, along with that comes a new mind, a new will, a new way of thinking. Later on in Philippians, Paul reiterates what it means to have a new way of thinking. It's in chapter 4, verse 8. He lists several of the things that we need to think upon. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Along with our new head comes a new way of thinking. Also, we get a new way of talking. No longer is it the selfishness, no longer is things our discussion centered around ourselves, but our discussions is centered around our Lord. In Psalms, the 19th chapter, the 14th verse, here the psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Our words that we speak, we want to be words that are acceptable. Words of the meditation of our heart that is pleasing upon the Lord. This is very important according to Matthew, the 12th chapter. Here it says that in the 36th and 37th verse, that every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Brethren, if we are accountable for every idle word, I pray that every word from my mouth would indeed be acceptable to my Heavenly Father and to my Master, Jesus Christ. We also, when we get a new head, get a new way of seeing things. In Acts chapter 26, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inherit an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." This new way of seeing, or this new way of understanding things, only comes from our sanctification and through the merit of our dear Master. Our eyes are open that we can see, and this allows us to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And through this, we indeed are able to see that we have an inheritance. This isn't a time for everyone to see. This isn't a time for everyone to understand. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Brethren, indeed, our eyes have been blessed. They have been opened, and we are able to comprehend and to see this beautiful plan which our Heavenly Father has designed for the redemption of all of mankind. And also our ears are blessed, and this is another thing we get when we receive a new head, is a new way of hearing. The psalmist said in Psalms 115, "They have ears, but they hear not." And how true this is of many of the world today. They have ears, they desire to be a follower of Christ, but they can't hear the message that he has for the world today. Indeed, our ears are blessed in the fact that, as recorded in Revelation, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." And we indeed are able to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Along with the new head, one of the things we want to get is a new love. In John chapter 21, verse 15, Jesus asked Simon Peter, said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And I think that even today we are being asked that same question. Lovest thou me more than these? And I pray that each of us, and I pray especially myself, that I can answer as Peter did. "Lord, thou knowest that I love you." This new love is something that is not hidden within our hearts. This new love is something that is to be seen and experienced by all that we meet. John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The only way to have the true love is through the effort of putting on Christ. This love is so important in our experience. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, it tells us the depth that this love must go. 1 John 3:14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Brethren, it's an important thing, not just to give lip service, not just to go through the motions, but to indeed love with a pure heart each of our brethren. Another thing that we want to include in this change that we're going through is we want to have a new walk. We no longer want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, as is recorded in Psalms, the first chapter, the first verse. But we want to have a change in the way that we walk. We want to walk in that newness of life that is recorded in Romans chapter 6. Thereby, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Those of us who have made a consecration, those of us who have symbolized that consecration in baptism, know that we enter into the water. Symbolically, we go down in death, and we are raised up to walk in a newness of life in the footsteps of our dear Master. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 illuminates this point a little farther. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, then we have this fellowship. We have this closeness with him. So what is this light that we are to walk in? Psalms 119, verse 105 tells us what this light is. Psalms 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As Christ walked in the word, we also must follow in his footsteps. Brethren, another thing we want to do is have a new hope. As Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us of the hope that lies within us with fear and meekness. We have a process that we're going through. It's a painful process. There's suffering, but this suffering also brings its reward. If in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, it is a faithful saying, "If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." The process that we're going through is a very painful process. It's a long, drawn-out process, and it's one that the reward is worth the suffering that we must endure. We have a guarantee that goes with this, and that guarantee is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Now, it may not look like a guarantee here, but the guarantee is this. If we make straight paths for our feet, if we don't allow the imperfectness that we have, if we don't allow that to turn us out of the way, but rather it would be healed, and if we follow peace and holiness, we shall see him. But verse 15 through 17 follows this. And there's also a guarantee if we don't complete the program, what will happen? And we will lead this to your own reading. Our time is short. But basically, as Esau, whenever he sold his birthright, he sought repentance with bitter tears. And brethren, if we don't complete our program, we, like Esau, may seek repentance with bitter tears and find no place for repentance. In conclusion, brethren, our consecration is a very serious matter. It's a life and death matter. None of us, as recorded in Luke, the 14th chapter, would consider building a tower unless we first considered the cost. None of us would enter into a battle unless we first considered whether we with 10,000 can conquer the enemy with 20,000. We need to forsake all, lean entirely upon Him, and He will make us victorious through this. Our goal to be like Christ, we have firmly in mind. We have made that consecration unto the Lord. We indeed are willing to make the necessary changes. We desire to suffer with Him, and we desire and long to go home. May the Lord add His blessing. Mm-hmm.